You're listening to The Farming World. Our guest today is Joseph Persaki, Director of the Statistics Division of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Mr. Persaki began his career with NASS in 1984 with stints in the NASS field offices of Tennessee and Indiana. His most recent appointment occurred in 2008. He holds BS and MS degrees in agribusiness economics from SIU Carbondale and an MS in applied statistics from Purdue University. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Dave.
Yesterday, USDA had its quarterly grains stocks report, and it found some 300 million bushels more corn than it had in its June estimate. And so the trade had a lot of difficulty with those numbers, to be honest, because USDA says that no new crop corn made it into the old stock estimates, which left one of two things happening, or a combination thereof: either disappearance slowed, demand slowed, and or more production was found. I know that you don't necessarily, as an organization, keep track of those particularly, but what can you tell us about yesterday's reports that will help it make sense?
Yeah, one thing, I just want to just make a little slight adjustment to your opening comment. Back in June, when NASS published the grain stocks report, we came in about 300 million bushels lower than industry expectations on the total stocks. And then this time, in September, we came in about 300 million above the industry expectations. Mm-hmm. So that's the 300 million bushels I believe you were chatting about earlier. And then you talked about, or you made the comment about no new crop stocks being in this number. When we survey farmers, there's two parts of this. There's a farmer survey that gets us on-farm stocks, and then it's almost, not quite, but it's almost a census of off-farm facilities that we get our off-farm part of this estimate. What we do is, in both cases, on the questionnaires, we specifically point out that we are collecting old crop corn, meaning from the 2009 crop year or earlier, on both the on-farm and off-farm side. Now, is it possible that someone just reports what they have in hand, let's say on the on-farm side? Sure, it's possible. But during our editing of the data and our analysis of the data, if we get any records that match back to June and the current stocks are higher than they were in June, that sets off a flag for us. We call it an error or an edit check. That we'll go back and look at the data, and we'll look at the operations, and we'll potentially make phone calls back to the operators. Because if it's, say, a cattle operation or a hog operation, there's a good chance that stocks could be higher, but still we'll verify that. So we go the extra mile to make sure it makes sense. And we have between 50 and 75% of the sample between June and September that overlap for that on-farm side. So we go through the efforts there on the on-farm side, and then this time we ended up with that 485 million bushels on-farm.
So when you look at it at the end of the day and begin to crunch the numbers, you look at the three legs of demand: ethanol, exports, and livestock. The trade has a pretty good handle on parts of that, exports particularly, although we don't know the variance between the official census numbers and USDA's weekly export numbers just yet. That's a little bit later this month. Regarding ethanol, the trade has a fairly good handle on that, they believe. So you're left, if it's on a slowdown in the disappearance side, with livestock, and what the trade can't put a pencil to is about a 16% cut in livestock feeding.
Right, and I had chatted with the folks in the World Agriculture Outlook Board. That's the folks who put the balance sheet together. We went through these discussions yesterday morning when we were in lockup. And yeah, they expressed the same concern. I mean, they said right away, it's like there's going to be a lot of interest in this report. And the only thing I can say is, you know, here are the data. This is what was collected. We look at it, we go through it, and we publish it. I mean, I don't have any vested interest, financially one way or the other on this. I just want to put out the best number I can.
So is there any explanation that makes sense? Because the trade wants when they get their numbers, they want the facts behind them to justify their existence, and they want to NASS or whatever part of USDA, be it WASD, to be able to come and say, these are the reasons that these numbers exist. And I think one of the things that the trade has been saying, at least have been saying to me in the last day or two, is whether or not it would be a good idea to go ahead and split up residual and feed numbers.
Now that would be on the World Board to split up the residual and feed numbers. And that's something that you could talk with them about. But that I've heard that as well, because really you're right. You're exactly right, because that is feed and residual. And basically, if you go through the balance sheet, that's one. It's basically a calculation. Here it is, because you're absolutely correct. The guys in the World Board, they can go through and get the ethanol. They can get the exports. And then there's a little bit of other use in there as well. And then what's left over, that's a calculated number. And that is feed and residual. It's different than with soybeans, because soybeans, it's either you crush it or you export soybeans. So it's a different picture with soybeans.
You mentioned that the September 1 corn stocks number was 301 million bushels above the average trade estimate. The 30 June quarterly stocks report was 288 million bushels below the average trade estimate. So that sort of begs the question, what happened in the June report?
And I've heard that before, and that's one that I'm, I'll be kind of scratching my head about, and I've asked several, people in the trade, the question about, well, how much grain was in transit in June, because we don't count the grain in transit. It's actually when it gets someplace. Well, if you do the math on that, it doesn't account for all of it. And I don't have an answer on that. But I do know that if you look at the balance sheet on an annual basis and a six-month basis, going from last year to this year on an annual, and then going from March to now on a six-month basis, it doesn't look too bad. I know we shocked the system yesterday, but overall, it doesn't look too bad.
Well, I also know that USDA revised the 1 June stocks figure slightly lower in the current report, so they found something.
Well, now, generally, if we have a revision, like we're in September, we revise June, it's either that we get, I use the term the word late report, that we get a report from someone beyond the time frame, the data collection time frame in June, because there's operations that we have to estimate for if we don't get a response. And so in this case, we got a report from an entity, and we were able to use that rather than the estimated report on that. So that's generally where those revisions come from in the interim, in June in this case.
After going through the last 48 hours and talking to many in the trade, talking to many reporters, beginning to get an understanding about what happened regarding the report, is there talk and room for future considerations to do this a little bit better? And if so, what might some of those aspects look like?
Yeah, that's a good point, Dave. There's always room for improvement in what we do. And, after this is what, I'll get with my staff, and we're going to sit down and think, okay, let's talk about our analysis procedures, what we do in headquarters, and we'll touch base again. We'll touch base with our field offices. Okay, guys, remember this is important, what we do, and go through this whole process again and just make sure that we're doing everything correct. I feel today that we are doing things correctly, but it's always good to do a review from on what we do. And then plus, you know, it's good to, you know, to discuss this, you know, with other folks too on the outside, because I've been very busy the last few days. Well, not the last few days, the last few hours since about 8:30 yesterday morning, you know, with different folks. What exactly do you do and such? But it's a process that we go through.
Is there something that jumps out that's obvious to you? Might the reports, the questions, the way they're asked? I know that a lot of care is taken in making sure that we're only talking about old stocks, but might that have to be revisited?
Oh, sure. Everything is always open for discussion in with us, because we always try to keep abreast of things. And we are looking at different ways to, you know, collect data, you know, mainly, you know, with either different types of personal enumeration tools, and it may be doing a little bit different the way we do collect our data by phone, but just to keep abreast of changes. And, you know, and I know things, you know, like on the farm, you know, farmers are busy and such, and we want to try to make it as convenient as possible for them to report.
The reason I bring that up is I wonder if new crop corn, which is fed or exported prior to 1 September, looks to the producer like old crop use.
Yeah, and I don't have a good comment on that one, Dave. That one, because we talked about that with Jerry Norton, and I chatted a little bit about that, about the new crop consumption. What happened with it? You know, if it was already used, you know, in the old one. And I don't have a good feeling on that. That's kind of outside of my expertise.
What other things are you hearing from the trade regarding these reports that has some justification in your mind?
Just like the things you commented potentially about, you know, like the ethanol plants maybe, you know, buying new crop corn, you know, and foregoing old crop purchases in their regional, you know, in their areas, which could, you know, could explain some of that. Were they knowing that the yields from the ethanol yields from the new crop corn, you know, may be better than the old crop corn? And then some of this idea that there's quite a bit of corn sitting on barges down in the Gulf, and that's counted as stocks on hand down there waiting for new crop to come in to blend through. I mean, that's the things I hear. So a lot of people, and, you know, we're looking at things, yeah.
And the truth is, in the matter is, we really won't quite know what occurred yesterday until the January reports come out, yes?
That's a fair statement, Dave. That's a fair statement to make.
Thank you for being with us today, Joe.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dave.
That's Joe Prusaki, Director of the National Agricultural Statistics Service in Washington, D.C. You've been listening to The Farming World.